It is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
And I love Jesus Christ with all my heart.
Amen.
We need to get bold in this hour that we live right now. When we're outside these walls, you're in a restaurant, you're in Walmart, Cub Food, wherever you're at, out in the park, let somebody know that you love Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know, my wife and I, we just got back from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We found out Jesus is on the move there too.
All right.
Glory to God. We ate in some restaurants. How many know Christians spend more time in restaurants than anybody you know? God opened the door in the morning when we were there in the crack pot. Can you believe that? The crack pot. And I was right in the middle of it. Trot in the evening. And even we, God bless us with free muffins and everything because we were sitting there talking about Him. I tell you, God's on the move everywhere, but He's looking for bold, bold people to say His name. Because His name has got power. As Amy said, it's a mighty name. So we're excited about Jesus this morning. And we're excited about our guest here today, Dr. Nichols and his wonderful wife, Sherry, a wonderful helpmate for him, I'm sure, right? Sherry, you do all that hard work and he just walks around talking. And just kidding here, Dr. Nichols. Don't. Anyway, but we look forward to it. We're always pleased to have you here. And Dr. Nichols is being used by God and his wife, not only in the Minnesota area here, but around the country and also around the world on the ministry. We need to hear that. We need to see what God is doing, because sometimes we get in our own little corners and we think that's all there is. But everyone sitting in here this morning, whether you're or you, God has got a purpose and a plan for your life. Many times we look at people, you know, like Charlie Kirk's funerals today. You know, he's well known. God raised him up. He puffed his life. Think, who am I? But you know something? You're just as important as Charlie Kirk.
That's right.
Just as important. And that's why we need to get right with him. Draw close. Kirk is that he was not ashamed to tell his love for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's going to impact. Just think, folks, I won't get out in a preaching jag here, but I'll tell you, all around the world in a different way.
Yep.
It's going to be preached. Jesus Christ is going to be talked about throughout the whole world today in countries that they probably, Holy Spirit is moving through people like you and I. And there's people, one lady that he interviewed, I got to say this because it really means a lot. She even wept when she started in my life. And she said, the biggest reason why I'm weeping is because he was my brother in Christ.
Yeah.
He was a family member. And he's gone. Other. That we have an impact. Don't you want your life to impact your family, your friends, and the people around you? We need to talk about Jesus. But with that, Barry, we're again glad you're here today. And I know Dr. Nichols got a message from the Lord that he wants to share with us. So, again, thank you for being here, and you're welcome. Come up. I'll get up.
Thank you for that word about Charlie Kirk there, Pastor. Yes, it's challenged me, too. And Sherry and I and many other people, revival and awakening. And I'll just be honest with you today. Everybody scream right out loud. Just be honest with us, doctor. Okay. I've been going to church, Pentecostal church, my whole life. Okay, I went with my mom for 9 months first, before I was born. And, I've studied revival. I've immersed myself in revival in a number of different countries, including here in America. And we've had two great awakenings in this country. The first one, you know, in the 1730s, and then the second one in the early part of the 18th. Persuaded myself that the way it works is there's a revival, and then the revival spreads, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And man, if it could become an awakening. And I've had that change, and Charlie's been a part of getting that changed in my heart and my mind. And I want to encourage you with this to come first. In this case, now I know it didn't in, you know, Jonathan Edwards and all those guys. I've studied all that. Beginning to happen at the ground level.
Amen.
And Charlie's death is part of it. People have got to look into the face of evil, really, and look. So many of them, before they're ever going to think about Jesus and what can be done about it, they're going to have to understand there's a problem. You can't fix the problem. Amen. And then we're going to be there with Jesus and the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and the love of the Father. And I think this awakening is going to expand up this whole world. Of course, I'm out of my mind. I got to remind you of that. I'm very educated, but I'm out of my mind, and I'm getting into the mind of Christ. Okay. So, as a point of accountability, we were here just about a year ago. I want to let you know that we're breaking into the South. Hallelujah. I preached for the first time in Georgia 2 weeks ago today in the state of Georgia. They love Jesus down there. But we have had 4 overseas trips since we were here last. 1 to India and 3 to Africa. So, this trip that just came back on Tuesday, our team returned to the United States. Now, we prayed on Pakistan, and many of you pray for Pakistan, and God's doing a lot of things there. And do you know that God, in the face of tremendous adversity, can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So they got in. It was supposed to be 3 days of crusade meetings with Jesus. So he got the first night, 42 people received Jesus as their Savior and Lord on that first night. Early the next morning, the police showed up at the hotel with our team, and they said, "We're going to tell you once, you've got one opportunity, you've got to get out of this town and go where you had come from." And they said, "Get in your vehicle, we'll have one of ours in front of you and one of ours in back of you, and we'll get you to the border of this territory. After that, you're on." Tell us about it. It's Mohammed's birthday today, and you better not have a meeting honoring Jesus on Mohammed's birthday. So they obeyed. Okay. 42 people that received Jesus. Here's how it is in Pakistan. Those people have to be baptized in water. They have to be taken 40 miles away from their home city and baptized there and brought back. You say, why is that? Because if they do it right in their own city, they will be killed within the week. That's how it is in Pakistan. But you know what? We got right in there in the devil's face and snatched out 42 precious souls. Hallelujah. And people came to Jesus there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, heaven is open over Tanzania. Has been for a number of years now. And so the finances of putting these things on, and we just bless you for that. So as a point of accountability, we just tell you these things that have been happening. And
David and Sherry Nichols answered the call of God to launch Heart of the Father Ministries. Since then, tens of thousands of salvation, healing, and deliverance through the message of the Father's unconditional love. Recently, David and Sherry ministered together in a conference called Knowing the Father. Staff of Reverend David Dews, who serves as our Director of International Ministries. We are continuing to do gospel work in Tanzania.
Are you going to need this?
Sure, but I think I'm trying to walk alone.
You think you'd like to be
separated from the stick?
Yes. And the same hata itaji ifimbo.
This international work involves healing crusades in villages, pastors' conferences, and the placement of water wells. When our team arrived for the well dedication at Mailoa village in Tanzania as part of their daily duties, our team told them of the well that was about to be dedicated. They joined the crowd and received clean drinking water, and then the...
Now, the chest pain is gone and the headache is gone. But he wants to be a...
He's going to become a...
Yeah!
I trust you today for my salvation. I believe you died for me,
Jesus.
I receive you as my
Savior.
You are my good Savior and my
blessed.
Amen.
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 Today we are asking for your help as we continue to answer the call. Thousands of dollars in a village in Africa. A deep fresh water well costs thousands as well. Would you consider partnering with us financially by for festivals, wells, and the cost of operating the ministry in the United States, Africa, and India? God bless you.
And I was reminded of a scripture in, that I recorded this in my journal, actually. I was reading 2 Corinthians 3, Jesus Christ, that far surpasses the former glory, which was the law of Moses given in the Old Testament, right? And as I read this expectation of glory from our Lord Jesus Christ, we step out in freedom, just like that song we were singing, and boldness, right? To speak, just like Charlie Kirk, as we were referring to, and all of us around the world, but you and me, praise God. And so I'm more bold in sharing your truth in love, don't forget the love part, as your glory permeates my spirit, soul, and body. And I prayed that prayer across our stereo at home that Dr. Nichols was listening to in the next room, came this song, More Love, My Life. I'm sure you guys know this song. More love, more power, more of you in my life. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my God. So I encourage you to be bold in the name of the Lord.
Amen. How many of you here believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hebrews 13:8. He hasn't changed. What he did in those verses and pages of the Gospels, Jesus did all that stuff. He's still doing it today. And I want to give you quickly here this morning, I want to give you a testimony of something that happened just in the last month and a half. On 10th, both days, I preached in a church out in North Dakota in a town called Cullum. And we just did healing. I've done that here a number of times too. And there was a man in that crowd there that morning. It's called prostate cancer stage 4. There he was. I know, that's what we usually do, right? Ooh, and it is. It's very serious. This is two Sundays in a row like that, so this was kind of a unique opportunity. So his wife made him come up and give the testimony on the 3rd. And he just came up there and he said, something's happening in my body. I can feel things moving around. I know the power of God is on me. You know, an obvious just standing behold, on Tuesday, he did have tests and MRIs and all this stuff. And he had a different doctor than he usually did. And the doctor came out, is your name, you know, his name is Randy, actually. Is your name Randy so-and-so? And he goes, yeah, that's me. He goes, well, I wanted to check to be sure because this before, everything's smaller, it's shrinking down, and wonderful news. So he told all that on the 10th of August. Okay, now this past week. And guess what he was doing? He was cleaning the church. And I said, man, in your condition, cleaning the church. I said, well, how are you? He said, I have no pain. I have no symptoms. He said, I'm not taking any chemo, any of this stuff. And all of this is October 30th, and the doctors are going to do their job. They're going to confirm that I am healed. Hallelujah. Give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. So would you all stand up together, please? I'd like to do this right now before we preach the message. I just feel to release the healing. Something in your body that needs to be healed, just take your hand and lay it on yourself. Especially if you believe. These signs will follow those who believe. Hallelujah. You'll recover. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today for these people in this house. I thank you that they believe you and that they healer. Hallelujah. Make this confession right out loud. Say, in the name of Jesus, I choose today blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for me. I receive this healing in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we thank you all through this service. And now, Lord, we just take moments here for your healing power to be focused and concentrated on people that need it in this house. Jesus, I come off of these people and let them alone. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is giving strength where there was weakness. Jesus and facilities of the body that are being renewed in his holy name. We say yes to heaven. Lord, we just thank you for spines being healed today. And even by accidents to spines right now, we say be healed in the name of Jesus. All of those vertebrae, all of those discs, all of those, Jesus. The blood was shed for these healings to be happening. Thank you, Jesus. And conditions in brains right now, be whole. Between the mind and the brain inside of these people. Right now, in that holy name, it's resurrection power coming in there. It's right now, elbows and knees, right now, come to life in Jesus' name. Even parts that were worn away in there, grow back out the way you need in Jesus' name. And hips, and we come against a name today, the name of arthritis. Arthritis, you are a name and you are subject power off of these bodies. Go from them. I don't care what their age is. Right now, arthritis, you have to bow to the name of Jesus. He's greater than you to this mercy. And yes, to this glory just falling in here. Would you just lift up your hands and give him some praise here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say yes to you, Jesus. You are worthy of it all, Lord Jesus, with your holy and precious blood. Your might praise you and give you the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yourself out. If whatever you had, if it can be checked by moving around or squeezing it or whatever you had, just you might move around in to check it and come back. Hallelujah. Yes, please come back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people just feel the witness in themselves sometimes. Hallelujah. How many of you know something transacted here right now in this little time? A row right down here. Why don't all of you guys come on up? Let's quick take some testimonies. Hallelujah. Come on down, sir. Yeah, you too. Yep. Yep. Come on. Hallelujah. There is power in a testimony. Can you say amen to that? Now, what did you have before and what happened here now?
Arthritis in the back. The faith just came down through through the words of faith and through his blood.
Amen. Do you have any pain there? Did that hurt at all when you did that?
No. It did hurt.
It did not hurt?
No.
Wow. Man, oh man. Give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. Isn't this just like him to do this kind of stuff? Because he loves us. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Yes. I've had a damaged back for many, many years. A point still, but I believe it will. I believe it's on its way, and I have total faith and trust that he will do the healing.
Amen. So you feel you have improvement?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. Now let me just quickly explain some. Stay up here, sir. Let me just with his testimony here right now, you need to understand of working of miracles, where everything happens all at once and the people get it all, and they're both in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Then there is another gift in there called gifts, plural, of healings, plural. Both, check it in. That gift is not identically the same thing as miracles. In that gift, you get it in a moment of time, the healing begins, and it starts to work itself out. Set our agreement with you right into this next week that your healing is going to progress and get better and better and better until you're completely whole. And we have seen that. And what you got to do is focus on the improvement. Jesus is with you. Jesus wants you whole. And so that's an important thing to understand.
A checkout physically, but in Jesus' name, I am healed. Hallelujah. Head to foot, and I have seen miracles.
Hallelujah.
South America, there was a young lady, something, she must be in her 40s now. She had ovarian cancer and got back from, this was in Ecuador, and we got back from there, heard from them. So anybody out there's got cancer, you are healed in Jesus' name.
There, you heard it from both of us here today. No, amen. Hallelujah. Hey, South America. You know what? There's so many, but let me tell you a quick one from South America. I was from our ministry. These guys just called me up, and they said, hey, we got to have a guy with signs and wonders and miracles on this team. Will you go? I said, all right, I'll go. Okay. And Peru, right? We get to O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and we meet our interpreter, and he's holding this stick thing in his hand. And I go, well, I have 90% hearing loss in this ear, 50% loss in this ear. The interpreter is almost deaf completely. This is going to be a problem somewhat. Very first meeting, I just said to the Lord, Lord, I am not putting up with this. In the name of Jesus, they wanted me to come along right here. And Jesus healed him in the very first meeting. His ears popped open. He's like, ah! He said, turn the volume down, man. You know, hallelujah. North America, it doesn't matter. Amen? He's moving in power. Well, hey, stop at our table there on your way out. Grab one of these, one per family, please. Your friends or your grandkids, they work just as well for them. We have our Be Healed cards out there. We are down to just one edition of that. Distance away from you, they listen to the CD until they're healed. And many people do get healed that way. So we've got flash drives out there. This one, God, it'll really help you with that subject. And so all you need for these is a device with a USB drive. And then this, I don't know if it's completely complete, but there's a lot of stuff on it. There's four books in there. There's five videos and 23 audio messages. We're offering all five of our books here today for $35. That's a savings of quite a few dollars there. Don't have time to talk about each one individually, especially those of you that believe you're healed here this morning. Check into this book, How to Receive Your Healing from God and Keep It. Okay, receive, because the enemy, he's going to come and try to talk you out of it. This is our latest newsletter. We just sent them out. They're fresh, with all kinds of new, fresh information. Receive our newsletter. Just sign up on the clipboard there, and you will start receiving them. Well, praise God.
Hallelujah.
I told Pastor out before the service started, I was joking with him. I said, Pastor, there's too much joy in this house here. The joy that's in the house of the Lord is the joy of our salvation. Amen?
Yes.
Think of the freedom, that just the sheer freedom, knocking on the door and saying, hey, get in the vehicle and we'll escort you out of Coon Rapids. If you'll have to get over to Anoka to be safe. I mean, we have freedom. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's put that PowerPoint up there, please. That's very helpful. Whoever did that, thank you. That. All right, here we are. Is Jesus coming next Tuesday? Ooh. Have any of you been on the internet lately? Internet. Jesus is coming on Tuesday, September 23rd. Well, there are some reasons people are saying that. dive into that here a little bit today. So, Pastor called me about a week and a half ago here, and he really primed me up for this message. Got me a shopping bag, and I went shopping in my library at home. And I thought it would help us with this tremendous subject. And here's a couple of books right here. About they are students of mine from back in the day in hermeneutics class. When this book came out in 1988, I threatened the class that I was going to make this the textbook, okay, for a hermeneutics class, how to interpret the Bible. Okay. So this title of this book is Rapture, Rosh Hashanah, 1988, and 88 Reasons Why Believers Back Then Will Remember. People were putting their dogs to sleep. They were emptying their 401ks. They were selling. Believe that date should be set. And it was this book, if you read it at a surface level, is quite okay. And here's the first thing to beware of with date setting on the day of Jesus coming. When the mathematician sends Edgar Wisson on, now, praise God, they have a ministry too, but and I know there's some reality to some of that, but when everything becomes a number and everything becomes an interrelated, you know, this has got to be divided by this and this, so anyway, this was the 88 Reasons book, and of course, as you know, how many of you know Jesus didn't come in 1988? That didn't bother Edgar at all, because he did some more research, and he came up with his 89 book right here. See, I'm sparing you a lot of reading here today. I'm just telling you, I'm summarizing it for you. Okay, the title of the first chapter is, What Went Wrong? I'm not kidding. You look in here, that's what it says. Now, how many want to know what went wrong in 1988? Why? Okay, there's a few of you. Okay. What went wrong in 1988 is Edgar forgot that the first, it starts with 1, goes to 99. When you hit 100, you're in the second century. And then from then on, 100 to 199. Ha! A new lease on life. I've got another year. So, of course, he set the date for 1989. Well, that didn't work out too well either. Dig around in here a little bit. It's good to know, you know, where your theology comes from sometimes. Popular in the 1980s, this book proves beyond a doubt that Anwar Sadat, the former president of Egypt, now unfortunately he received his deadly wound, but he hasn't been come back. Before he was able to ascend to the beastly throne. And so that one didn't work out too well either. And then here's Hal Lindsey. This is really the sure with 1988, the 1980s countdown to Armageddon. So did you enjoy Armageddon? You remember it all happened? No. And then we got another one. This one got expensive. No, not this one. This one, the Antichrist. Unfortunately, Gorby didn't live up to the promised things there. In fact, the man doesn't really come from the Bible. It comes from this book right here. Remember the omen? Oh, the omen. We're going to make you afraid. If you're a Christian, you're still going to be afraid. Here's somebody who's been born. In the U.S. ambassador to what was it? U.S. ambassador to the U.N. And he's got a 666 tattooed into his skull. You got it. That's not really it either. And there was a guy named Harold Camping. He came out with 1994. And I couldn't find that one. I'll have to look for that. But Jesus didn't show up in 94, so he had to try again. I mean, you can always keep trying, right? Some of you will remember this. May 21st of 2011. This guy was pretty well known on Christian radio. He had a nationwide radio program. $1 million. This has been documented. He spent $100 million promoting ahead of time that May 21st. I shudder to think of what we could have, Pastor, what we could have got done in Africa with $100 million instead of wasting. And as you've noticed, Jesus didn't come that day. So, is Jesus coming next Tuesday? Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter and read some words of Jesus. Verse, not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Purpose. One of the most important parts of his mission was to fulfill the Old Testament and usher us into the New Testament. Not setting it aside as unimportant, but saying there's something higher, there's something greater in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ was filled. So, let's go over to Matthew 24, verse 14. Tells us very plainly. A lot of people don't like this answer, but this is what Jesus said. Verse 14 of Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And now, folks, here's the thing with the Bible. The Bible was not written. Okay, and of course we know the Holy Spirit inspired it. There's a divine side of the Bible, but there's also the human side of the Bible. Just as Jesus, and he was human as the Son of Man in one person, so is the Bible. The Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit on its divine side, and the original is of expression, patterns of word usage that are particular to a certain author, like Paul especially. A lot of study has been done on that. But pretty much any book. So it's human and divine. These authors, in their humanity, did not have the worldview that we have today. Logical progression, Western type of worldview that has evolved over centuries of time. And that's how we think. That's how we analyze stuff. What we do is we get into theological fights and arguments and form denominations. View that Eastern worldview that these people were in, that the Holy Spirit landed on to express these things to us, bringing heaven to product of that, which is the written scriptures, is going to have what we would say are contradictions. They didn't see it that way. This chapter 24 of Matthew is loaded with admonitions to watch, be prepared. The coming can be any moment. That through 25 as well. The parable of the 10 virgins is all about that. But then, in the same context, in all the world to a witness to, as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, that sounds like it's going to be a while. How can both be true? The challenge that is in front of us as believers 2 days before the before the second, okay. The challenge that is before us is if he doesn't come on the 23rd, to keep watered and keep in anticipation, and wide mission is going to keep being fulfilled, and more people are going to come to Jesus in Asia and Africa and South America and North America and everywhere. Amen. Around the amen?
Amen.
That's how I see it. So that's Matthew 24 now. Exodus chapter 23. By the way, we'll easily be out of here by 2. Exodus 23 and verse 14. Feasts that the Jews in their annual observance and their worship of the Lord through the Old Testament books, there's seven feasts that they observe that are called pilgrimage feasts. Those are the big three. Those are the ones where the people of Israel, wherever they were, had to go to Jerusalem. It prescribed in Exodus, Leviticus, and these books. And they're named here in this passage. So I want to read them to you. And September 23rd is set as a date, is that it is the Feast of Trumpets / Rosh Hashanah / Sukkot and a bunch of other names. 14 in Exodus 23, three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the first 7 days as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before us. Also called Pentecost. Also the first fruits of your labors which you have sown in the field. And the Feast of Ingathering, number three. Number of other names as well. That's the third one. At the end of the year when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. That the people of Israel were supposed to travel to Jerusalem as pilgrims and worship the Lord there. So, okay, Passover, I've put that name up there because that's one that we are really all familiar with, unleavened bread. And it is, besides all the great things that had to happen, you can read all about the lot more detail than we can do here today. But it was a celebration of the barley harvest. Each one of these is a celebration of a harvest, is the third one, the last one. That's not true. This feast, Passover, was a celebration of the barley harvest and that the Lord, as we just read here in Exodus. As you know, the Passover is a celebration of the coming out of Egypt when the Lord passed a lamb put over them, the literal physical lamb, and the angel of death passed over them, and that night they left Egypt. It's a monumental, amazing part of Israel's history before the Lord. Now, we read in Matthew chapter, fulfill without destroying. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Most people, when they come in, whether it's political or destroy the old, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus came and stood on the foundation of what had already been revealed and took it so much, trying to find words to describe how great and wonderful Jesus is. Amen?
Amen.
The Son of God, the Son of Man, everything that he is. So I want to just, in fact, invite me back at Christmas time, and I'll go into a lot more. I'm kind of kidding, but over in Luke chapter 2, filled, how did God do it? Well, he started out about 35 years ahead of time. In Luke chapter, and we're going to begin in verse 7. This is speaking about Mary now. I know you're all going to see snowflakes now in this story. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him, everybody, feed me some Greek, doctor.
Feed me some Greek, doctor.
She laid him in a phatne. Well, the word phatne in Greek can mean manger, but it also can mean stall. And I know this is opening up a huge can of... anyway. She laid him in a phatne. There's no verse in the Bible, if you follow my line of interpretation here, that says he was placed on hay in a apocryphal New Testament book called the Gospel of Mary. Okay? Read it sometime. You'll find a lot of stuff that's not in the inspired word. He was definitely born near Bethlehem. He was the Son of God being born, but he was placed in this phatne in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were great. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, and this will be the sign to you. What follows is a great sign to these particular shepherds. From the Jewish writings and from a lot of research that's been done recently, these shepherds were not ordinary, everyday shepherds. The lambs that would one day be the sacrifices at the temple in Passover. Okay, 6 miles up the road. It's a very, very technical job that they had because, as you know from Exodus, the lamb had to be a male of the first year without blemish, making sure the lamb wasn't blemished, including a structure on the north end of Bethlehem. I get a little emotional with this. That had in it a thing called a phatne. It was when the ewes would come, were ready to bear their lambs, the shepherds would bring them there, and the lambs would immediately, as soon as they were born, they'd be placed in the swaddling cloths, by the way, too. So when the angel said to the shepherds that in swaddling cloths, lying in the phatne, they knew exactly what to look for. Did you notice the angel didn't tell them to where to have to go? And the Bible doesn't say they went. They knew where to go. The name of the place is called Migdol Eder. It's mentioned in the Old Testament several times. That's a Hebrew phrase. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. So the angels say, Let's go and see what the Lord has made known to us. And the baby lying where? In the phatne. Now when they had concerning this child, the sign was that right where for many years now the lambs had been placed when they were a year old up at the temple. Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, your King.
Thank you, Lord.
No cows, no camels, no wise men. Sorry, we're deconstructing the manger scene. You know. Placing Jesus. I don't think Mary had to search around a lot for swaddling. Just grabbed one. Her newborn baby, Jesus. Who, according to John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Friend, when God brings about a fulfillment, self-instituted centuries before, when he brings that about, he goes all out.
Yes.
Down to the Jesus was that Lamb. And he was slain for your sin and for my sin and for the sins of the whole world. Now that you have to get to that reality, and that is the fulfillment of Passover, I would say. Here in we won't turn there. Matthew 26, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, which is two things: the bread is his body, the wine is his blood. Amen.
Amen.
In that simple action there, he fulfills the time of a Seder, a Passover meal, and the things that had to be there and all of that. Now it's all boiled down to two simple things that you observe every time you take communion: in Jesus' blood. There it is. All right, next slide, please. Here's the one you all came to hear about. Pentecost, hallelujah. We're Pentecostals, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Called the Feast of Weeks because the day of its celebration is established by 7 weeks, 49 days, and then on the following day, the 50th case, the celebration of it is by, it is of the giving of the law. That's what this feast is all about. Celebrates that God did that with Moses approximately 14, 15 centuries. But it is also the beginning of the wheat harvest in Israel. And that is the grain that needs to be at the either the tabernacle or the temple in this feast. I think you all realize quite readily the fulfillment of this too. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So in the Old Testament, you have the giving of the law, which is a wonderful thing, aspect of human life. There it is. Read those five books. But now, Jesus has died as the Passover lamb. And right before he ascends back into heaven, he says to the disciples, go to the city of Jerusalem, tarry there until you are with power from on high. That's in the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And they obey. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. To get 120 people in one accord in one place.
Amen,
amen, Pastor. Amen. All of observant Jews are in the city of Jerusalem right now. This is Pentecost. They're there to celebrate the giving of the law, and they're offering it. And the priests are. It's a great celebration. But these 120 that obeyed Jesus to fulfill, they're not partying with the crowd down there. These feasts were huge parties. Let's be clear about this. And wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now the fire got distributed, friends, on every single believer. The fire. And how should I act? How should I behave in my life? Well, the law of Moses is a great place to start, but what if you have the Holy Spirit bringing life into you daily as you invite him to, and you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now you're immersed in the Spirit, just as you were immersed in water, dunked in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You're soaked, you're saturated. What a higher level that is. Moses is there, and every part of it is still true. But this is higher. This is better. They were all, oh boy, there we go, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that got them into a bit of trouble with all these pilgrims here at the Feast of Pentecost. From, here's the evidence, you were at an actual feast, a pilgrimage feast of Israel, and they get out of the upper room, they go down to the party now. Okay, they're just speaking in whatever particular tongue, and there are 120 of them. Imagine that in good old Jerusalem on that day. Whoa. And you know, they accuse them of being drunk. Peter stands up. No, they're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. The places aren't even open yet. No, I threw that in there. It's only 9 in the morning. And then this great prophecy from Joel, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Didn't Peter know that there wouldn't be any last days until 2025 with him? He didn't know that. This passage, mark this down, please, in your view of Bible prophecy and eschatology, okay? The last days started on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
If you've ever studied church history, or if you would like to, I'd like to challenge you to do this. Go back, get your stuff, and try to find me an era in church history between 100 AD and right now, where people were sitting around in Christian gatherings here in the year 13, let's just pick one, year 1347. Man, nothing happening at all in Bible prophecy. I mean, you know, oh man. That, friends, that does not exist. every generation of Christians that truly loved Jesus, all down through their generation, because Jesus told them to. We're not the first ones to face this. They will be the last ones, and will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and all that from 1 Thessalonians 4. But we've been in the last days. And this gospel of the kingdom, think of this. Think of the patience of a loving God in heaven with this gospel going on this planet. Now, granted, with modern travel and jet planes and ships and all this stuff we have now, it's able to get to some places it couldn't go to before. But this has been going on for a long time, and the last days have been on from this day of Pentecost on. I would call that a fulfillment of a major proportion. Hallelujah. And what the last days are all about is not being the lucky winner. It's like second coming sweepstakes. And then we all go to heaven and we say, oh, he's the guy. He nailed it, man. That's not. And I'll show you why in just a minute scripturally. But we got to talk about the third feast here. That's the one that's happening Tuesday. All right, here it is. It's also called the Feast of Ingathering. It's called Rosh Hashanah. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles. The reason it's called the Feast is all about the grape harvest, as you see next there. During the grape harvest, people got so intense and so involved with it, and also, really, when you think about food and eating and keeping your life alive in the ancient world, if you had barley, if you had wheat, if you had... you could stay alive. Okay? We don't even think in those terms anymore now. We go, here, Cub Foods, you know. The convenience, healthy stuff at the convenience store. Yeah. No, they were thinking in terms of these harvests. Is a tabernacle is a tent, basically. And it was like ancient camping, okay, because the harvest was so intense when the stuff got intense, called tabernacles, all around where the harvest was. And if you went out and stood on a high place and looked, it looked almost like an army, but it was harvesters, laborers. That's why it was called Feast of Tabernacles. And trumpets, and ingathering, and Rosh Hashanah, and Sukkot, all those for you. So, I'm going to try to close, okay? Tell your neighbor he's trying to close. I'd like to ask you this question. Could it be, because we haven't touched the book of Revelation yet, okay? The book of Revelation. Revelation describes the future fulfillment of this great feast of Israel. Could that be out? Something that every Jewish Israelite person reading it would understand very clearly is in the first verse of Revelation, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not first and foremost the revelation of Antichrist. All in there. You know, there's something to learn about him in there, but it's about Jesus. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at him. We wanted to stay here till 2, we could start in chapter 1, but chapter 14, verse 14. Then I had one like the Son of Man, wonder who that is, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle, harvesting implement. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. My friends, this final, right up here, this final fulfillment of this third feast is going to be the harvest of the earth. Purposes of God that have been, they have been in different times and places, different manifestations, different ebbs and flows, ins and out, somewhere. And this is it. And another angel, verse 17, came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle, who had the power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, "Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine ripe." So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600. Talking about symbolic language here. Don't sit around waiting for a flow of a river of blood that it would take somewhere around 50. Figured it out one time, giving a 1 cubic foot of blood for each body of a human being. This is powerful prophetic tension. And say to us, a day is coming, and on that day, the earth itself is going to be reaped for the purposes of God. It's going to be olives, Israelites. Thank you. That's wonderful. You're obeying God. He told you to do that. This guy that's coming here is the King of Kings. And please, chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened to your scheme of end time belief, okay? And I'll give you some Greek without making you beg for it. This is a perfect participle. What that means? All the times you study them, all the times heaven opened, when the voice came over Jesus, times in the Old Testament when God spoke, it opened. When this one comes, heaven's going to open, hallelujah, and it's going to stay open. It's going to open up upon this created realm down here. On him was called faithful and true. I wonder who that is, hallelujah. In righteousness he judges and makes wars. His eyes are lens. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Now get this, here's the harvest. He was clothed in a robe dipped in blood. They had these things called wine presses. They filled them up with grapes. The best juice to make the best wine always came just from the pressure of everybody wanted to get was that first juice that just came out of the spigot by itself. But after that ended, then people got white robes on for cleanness, feet, of course, and got in and stomped the grapes until they stomped out every possible bit of juice out of every grape. What do you think, though? That's the picture here. A robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. White and clean. They're going to stomp the grapes, too. Hallelujah. Followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. I wonder what this comes back. Is he going to have a 90-foot steel blade coming out of his mouth and going to swing that thing around? No, friend, its sword is his word. This is what Luther wrote about in that great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." One, speaking of the devil, one little worm. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To this king who's coming back, his name is Jesus. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the one. He's Jesus. He's the judge. And at the same time, the Savior and the healer. He's all of these. Hallelujah. All right, last slide, please. Is September 20th, here's a question. Has the gospel of the kingdom been preached in all the world? I don't think so. My master, as I pointed out at the beginning of this sermon, tells me to watch, to not be overcome by the cares of this life, and my spirit, precious and powerful and wonderful as coming is. I've got to hold the two of those in tension. And I suggest you do the same. Final verse here about Tuesday, okay? Matthew 24:36. He could come on Tuesday. If the gospel was preached to the whole world, the gospel of the kingdom, in case he comes. Because I got to go to heaven with all of you, you know, right? Yeah. But verse 36 in Matthew 24, but of that day and hour no one knows. Edgar didn't know. What was the lady there? Ralphie didn't know. Oh. Harold Camping didn't know. And you'll have to deal with this a revelation. I read a Bible that says no man knows. So I don't know how that can square together. Into the last days now for almost 2,000 years. Jesus could come on Tuesday. Not for all those reasons, but the whole consummation, I think of this, a Passover that got fulfilled by the Lamb. A Pentecost that got fulfilled by writing it and filling us with the Holy Spirit. And then a Feast of Trumpets like no other. Oh, wow. Be ready. Let's stand up together. I have to ask you, are you ready? Jesus is coming back. The track record, and I'm not going to get up here and say, if you don't repent by Tuesday, rah, rah, rah. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say he is coming. He could come. But he doesn't have to. But the point is, you've got to be ready. Which means, just like the precious man you saw on the screen here just a little while ago. We don't do that very often in our crusades, but I knew it was right. Tons of people led him to Jesus, to the saving knowledge of Jesus right then and there, and he confessed Jesus and became a believer. Your day. You need to do it today. Because this love of God is reaching to you. The reason Jesus came and all the rest of the gospel story, Jesus' teachings, Jesus' miracles, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead. These are facts of history, but they need to become a living spiritual reality in your heart. God wants is your heart. That's what he really wants, is a heart that trusts him and believes him. And when he says, I forgive you, it has the power to do that. It's not the blood of sheep and bulls and goats anymore now. According to the clear teaching in the book of Jesus, we sang about it, we've preached about it. It's the blood of Jesus. Maybe you have been saved at one time and in walking in the light, but you know you... If that's you today and you want to change that, you want that changed. Or if you've never received Jesus for the first time, you know, God bless you. You know, today is your day. We thank you, Lord. Let's raise it up quickly so I can ask to Jesus here today, to his mercy and to his love. Ask you right now, those of you that raised your hands, if you would be bold and just step out and come on down here to the front. We'd love to pray with us. He's the only one that can forgive your sins, heal your soul, bring you in. Step out and come now, please. God bless you. Thank you. Are you ready? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lead us in that, Amy, if you would, please. Pastor.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to the Lamb. And all gone before us, and all who
Hallelujah. If I may, Dr. Nichols. Come up. Jesus called people publicly. That isn't to solidify that you meant business with him. And if you are ashamed to do it here, you won't do it out beyond these walls. Tell somebody. And I'm already up here. I was one of those guys. So if you had your hand up, come on, stand with me. We want to pray with you. Don't be ashamed. Christian, I backslidden. If there's anybody else, let's do it now because he is coming. He may come this afternoon. But Dr. Morton's a reading this, and not only reading it, but studying it, because the Bible is being torn apart by an ungodly world, saying it's full of... I listened to our brother preach today. He brings it together. There's no mistake. It all fits perfectly together because this is shame to the gospel. Come on, is there anybody else before we start? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed. Just step out. Don't worry about anybody else. Nobody else can save you here. He used the word bold. It's a time to be. Come on. You know who you are. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. We're going to start praying. Hallelujah. Now's the time. It means your eternal soul. There's somebody else that needs a step. Come on. I'm serious. That's what this is all about people coming to Christ, winning the lost. This may be our life. I took that news, and then we're going to pray here, but Dr. Nichols, I took that newsman prophetically this morning. It's going to be preached all around the world, the exact words you read out of here, and then the end will come. Could this be the very end gospel to go out around the world? I don't know. He does. But if it is, time is really short. Just line up here so I can see each one of you here, and so I'm not... Hallelujah. We want to pray a prayer. Thank you. But we want to say a prayer out loud in... For the sake of those watching also, that maybe someone giving my brothers and sisters, all say this out loud with me as I pray this prayer with our brothers and sisters up here. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Heavenly Father,
Jesus.
Come to you in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, I stand before you right now. A sinner, a heart to you. From the day I was born to where I stand here this day. And Jesus, that you died and you rose again. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, Savior, and that your Holy Spirit will live within me and guide me and help me. Ask Jesus, that your precious blood that you shed upon Calvary's cross wash away all remembered again. And right now, Jesus, I mean it in my heart. I am born again. Aren't you excited, people? We got people coming into heaven that I'm excited. Hallelujah. That's important. Man, we can change our world. These folks up here right now, if we all kept our mouths shut and they went out, hallelujah. But I want to encourage you, and some of you already know, and I'm not trying to be repetitious with you. It's so violent. If it's a chapter or a verse, And then study. If you don't understand something, look it up and study it, or call someone and ask them, that you can grow in the Lord. This is important, especially if it's a newer person. If we don't do those things, Satan is going to come along and steal that seed. You don't want it. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to prepare this ground to be a soft ground, that when the seed hits, that you become hungry, and you need to be involved in a church. You need to be involved in reading your word, fellowshipping, and praying daily. It's a work. Happen. The reason Dr. Nichols is up there preaching isn't because he's a wonderful guy and got a title on his name. It's because God saved him and he took it seriously and he sealed. You can't do that if the seed dies upon the rock. Amen? Let me hand you folks one of these. What's your name?
Jason.
Jason, you told me, but I want to make sure. Jason. And praise God, I'm excited. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and Lord. And Father, we're all together in this together. There's no one perfect in this place, only you are. And Father, we are leaky vessels, and we're come within our hearts and lives daily and convict us, to challenge us. And Lord, you will, as we seek your righteousness, your word says you will add. Even some Christians are struggling so hard, but they're not being obedient to your word. If they were, they would see that you are a supernatural working God. One that salvation can come through. You are the door. You are the way. No man can come unto the Father but through you. And what my brothers and sisters this afternoon, that they will go tell somebody else that I committed my life or recommitted my life to you. So Lord, thank you for using us. Touch every home. Meet every need financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, domestically, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise. Said,
amen.
Amen. And look at somebody and said, I had a feast today.